We are back, and we are joined by Jeff O'Brien from Chestnut Cambrone. And Jeff, we're not going to talk any too much legal stuff here. What we're going to talk about is, well, the Gophers. The Gophers got beaten by a team they were favored by more than 30 points to defeat Bowling Green. That was a terrible game. Their coach, now I know you were at another game, but PJ Fleck, 4th and 1 from his own 30, goes for it, doesn't get it. Bowling Green takes the ball, scores, and that completely flipped the game. Bad, bad coaching decision. Meantime, what is it, like 5 miles away, if that?
Yep.
St. Thomas plays Butler, first home game in D1. They cruise to a 36-0 victory. Maybe the best D1 team in the state. Well, certainly the best D1 coach.
Yeah. Well, you know, it was fun. You know, I went with my cousin, who was also an alum, and I don't think either of us had been back on campus for a game in a long, long time. And I watched a lot of the games online or listen on the radio.
Yeah.
And Glenn's been on me. Glenn Curso has been on, coach has been on me for a few years. When he come to a game, So he, at this time, he basically gave me a choice. I can see in Iowa or I can see in St. Paul in 2 weeks. I'm like, I'll be there for the debut. But it's such a fun atmosphere. You know, you've got, you know, rock music playing on the loudspeakers. I told my cousin, I said, do we have any music playing at our games? He's like, I don't think so. You know, and they're, you know, this, the energy, the students are all excited. They got, you know, the mascots out there throwing t-shirts into the crowd. You got the grills going, and it was a good football game. It was a beautiful day for football. And, you know, they pounded the ball. They ran the ball a lot. You know, week before when they lost at Northern Iowa, they were a lot more passing attempts. The game was a little slower. This week, they, you know, the defense made stops when it needed to. And their offense looked really good. It was just a fun way to open their D1, you know, life at home by having a big win like that. But, you know, back to the Gophers, you know, you can't, when you're, When you go for it on 4th and 1 on your own 30, you're just asking for trouble. That's just disrespectful to the other team, right? That's just telling you we don't think anything of you. We can do this, and the game turned on that play.
Jeff, I started covering football when I was a freshman in college, and this is way back, and this is in the 70s. Until the Vikings played Cincinnati, I had never seen high school, college, pro coach go for it on 4th and 1 from their 30. Zach Taylor did the exact same thing. The Vikings stopped him, and they wound up scoring in a few plays. The percentages of getting – why would you even think of doing that? It makes no sense.
No,
the
no.
arrogance
right.
of P.J. Fleck figured, I will crush him. You're up 3-0.
You sometimes see it at the college game. If you're fourth and short,
if you're behind,
and if you're at the opponent's 40-yard line, right, or 45-yard line, because a punt's just going to go into the end zone, right? So you run it because you might end up with, you know, you do something to probably get better field position than if you were punting the ball because you're out of field goal range. But no, you don't do it at your own 30. It was not a good showing for the U. Was not a good showing for Coach Fleck.
No.
But like I said, Minnesota's other Division I team won, so I'm happy.
Well, I'm happy that you're happy. So that's a good thing. And you know, when they playing Northern Iowa, that's not a team at their level. That's a team that's much above what their level is. And you know, it's not like playing in this where Butler is. Which is more
right, but they need to have those. But they need to have those contests to understand where the baseline is, where they are right now. So you know, it was done. They scheduled that game for a reason. I mean, you think about it. Glenn still has a lot of his Division III guys.
Sure.
That are the upperclassmen playing.
Well, most of them are.
When he's, yeah, he's got one class of D1 recruits. But it just, you know, it's. He's what was neat about it. I texted him after the game. I said, different division, same result. You know,
yeah.
I mean, he has a style of football. He pounds the ball. The defense, you know, shuts down, is stifling, and he walks away with a shutout. So I think that the Tommies are going to be competitive in D1 faster than what a lot of team, what a lot of the teams that have elevated up to that level.
Oh, I don't doubt it because he's a very good coach. All right, I want to switch gears to something happening in New York. The governor there is threatening or claiming she's going to put the National Guard into hospitals and fire healthcare workers who won't get vaccinated. Now, the big thing about that is, and we talked off air, why won't they get vaccinated? And, you know, there's, and yeah, it's not every one of them, but there's a lot of them who just don't. And they're actually right on the front lines of COVID if they're vaccinated based on what our President Biden is saying. Well, that protects you. Well, it doesn't fully protect you. You could still get sick. But the evidence or the information we're getting is that you don't get as sick and fewer people wind up hospitalized. But the healthcare workers, you had a theory on it, and I think it certainly should share it with listeners.
Well, my understanding of how when the FDA does trials for whether it be a vaccine or a new medication or whatever it is, medical device, whatever the item is that's in front of the FDA for review and approval, normally there's, as my understanding, there's years of clinical trials because you want, it's one thing to figure out you have something that addresses an illness or, you know, or a virus or something like that. Right.
Yep.
But the question is what are the long-term side effects? What, you know, what happens 2 years from now, 3 years from now, 4 years from now, 5 years from now. And the truth is you just don't know here. I think that's my theory at least as to why it's not just New York. I mean, I know of stories of, I've talked to people here in Minnesota, healthcare workers that are facing losing their jobs because they don't want the shot. Their argument is we worked all of last year without a vaccine. Why are you requiring us to take this shot? And so, you know, rather than, you know, have a conversation with people, the government, particularly one side of the equation, is saying you got to do this, or we're gonna make you do it. You know, we're gonna force you to do it.
It's Jeff. Here's the problem I have with it. Now I am vaccinated. I got my second shot in April. My problem is, why should we believe? Because he has screwed everything else up. He's did with with Afghanistan, the economy. I mean, look at what the prices are going up on fuel and everything. But every step he takes, he's wrong. Why should we believe that Biden's administration got this and is getting this right? They were the ones who were telling us, get the vaccination, you'll never get COVID. Well, that's not the case. Get 70% in the country and COVID will go away. Well, that hasn't happened. I don't have any trust in what he or his administration says. They seem to be screwing up too much.
And there were also the ones, Bob, if you recall, last year when Donald Trump was still president and was talking about the development of vaccines, it was Biden and Harris that were out there running around flapping their gums about how they wouldn't take any vaccine that was developed by Trump. Like Trump is sitting in a lab with a white coat on developing vaccines.
That's a great point.
So somehow after January 20th, it was okay to do the vaccine. But before that, no.
No, I mean,
that's the kind of stuff.
Well, Biden wound up taking.
Doesn't make any sense.
He took over the vaccine, and also you mentioned that too about about Trump. And what about the southern border, where thousands, tens of thousands, are allowed in with COVID to go around the country and spread it? Why is he not stopping them? Yep. But he won't let health workers make the
security,
decision.
Yeah, Homeland Security Secretary admitted on Sunday talk shows that they let in upwards of 20,000 Haitian migrants through the southern border who weren't vaccinated and who weren't tested for COVID when they came across. I'll repeat Governor DeSantis's line. Unless and until this administration gets serious about the southern border, I don't want to hear a blip about COVID.
He's absolutely right. No question about it. Jeff, we could go on forever with this, but we need to take a quick break, and the BS show will be right back.